just celebrate women in this house one more time? Your fruitfulness, all that you carry. It is not lost on me that I have the privilege of being surrounded by some of the most incredible women in the world. It's such a joy, and I'm so grateful. I want to get straight into the word this morning. Are you ready? Yes? Can I hear your readiness? Yes. Amen. We're going to be reading from Luke 12 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there from verse 22. And I've asked you to join me in preaching this morning because my voice, it is not doing what I want it to do. So I want to encourage you to get involved, say amen, take hold of the truth this morning with wide open hearts and with both hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more, say how much more, say how much more, valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Say, how much more? You of little faith. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid. Some translations say, fear not, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Amen. Amen. This is the word of God. Do you not have seats in the back? Is everyone okay there? I can see people standing. Anyway, if there's lots of room, if you're looking for a seat. And so on this Mother's Day in 2024, I want to bring this thought to you. We have a secret. Say, we have a secret. So today is Ascension Sunday. If you are not familiar with this, Ascension Day was actually on the 9th of May, which was Thursday, 40 days after Easter. And this is the moment where Jesus returns to heaven and takes his rightful place, where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we've been speaking a lot about this, about our position in Christ over the past few weeks, about how we too are seated with him in heavenly places. And Jesus had to die and had to be resurrected and then had to ascend to heaven so that we could unlock the fullness of our authority that he so freely gives to us as believers here on earth. And we have this great hope today. No matter how you walked into this room, whether you are in a moment of mourning or of celebration, you have hope in him today because he has fulfilled what the Father intended for him to do. And so we know he died, we know that he has risen, we know that he has ascended, so we can put our faith and our trust that he will what? He will come again like he said he would. And that is our future hope today. He's gonna do what he said he will do. And I think it's pretty significant that this day, Mother's Day and Ascension Sunday coexist or coincide this year, because there's a reality of both celebration and grief that coexists within these moments. And you may have walked into this room today, you feel celebrated, your kids perhaps or your grandchildren have given you a moment to feel celebrated and you feel enjoyed and treasured, and yet you may have lost your own mother. And so there's this sense of celebration and yet also of grief. You may have lost a child. I have dear friends where this is the first Mother's Day since the loss of their child. Perhaps you are grieving the fact that you have not been able to conceive your own children. And so there's grief attached to this day. And yet here you are, celebrating with those around you. And the ascension is important, the ascension of Jesus. It's an important moment for many reasons. But one of the things that I find so fascinating about this moment is that the disciples show us that they could live in tension of the joy of seeing him go, and yet the grief that they felt as they said goodbye to their friend and their rabbi and their teacher. They knew he had to go to fulfill the extent of the Father's will, and yet they grieved who he was to them on earth. And today, church, there is this mysterious and somewhat strange invitation to be both. To celebrate the moment, yes, but also to mourn. We can cry and we can laugh. We can acknowledge the depth of our pain. We don't have to shove it away because it's a happy day for some others. We can mourn, but we can also embrace that we have an eternal and glorious hope in Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be one or the other. This is not an either-or story. The gospel invites us to a yes and amen kind of life. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And so today you can sit within the tension and be both. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fall on this place right now, that you would rest upon this word, and that you would put the hope of eternity, the hope of Jesus into our hearts this morning. I ask you, Father, to speak, because when you speak, it's more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so in the spirit of Mother's Day and celebrating the mother inside of every woman, the fruitfulness of what it is to be a woman, to carry seed, whether you have birthed your own children or not, you are fruitful. That is the way that God designed you, and you carry the spirit of a mother. Hear the truth today. Amen. One of the things that all women carry, part of what it means to be a mother, is great discernment, okay? If you don't know what that is, discernment is the ability to see something clearly, to be aware of something that's going on. It's to have a depth of insight, understanding, and intelligence about a situation. We're told in scripture that there was a woman named Jochebed, and she was Moses' mother. And it says she discerned something in Moses, and that caused her to put him in a reed basket and send him down the river in order to save his life. And hopefully, she believed the life of her nation. She discerned something, and that caused her to find a solution. Discernment causes us as women to lean towards something, to place the emphasis of our weight and energy on particular circumstances. And this week, I discerned something in our home. And I just want to say this. I didn't say this to the service before because I'm very passionate about this. My children are also in ministry. They didn't choose it. And so when I share with you stories about what God is showing me through how I've learned things through my children, I want to ask that you would honor and respect the work that Jesus is doing in them by not talking about it to them. I do ask for them permission to share with you, but I want to ask that you would protect their hearts. Amen. Their little, beautiful, growing hearts. By letting me use this illustration and not go and place it on them with your own words and encouragement. Is that okay? I love my children. Just a little bit protective. But I want to share this with you because it's important. I discerned something in our home that I wasn't necessarily comfortable with. And it was an increased fear and anxiety in my children. And I know that it's probably because Dylan's away. And children, they do lack something when there is no father's presence. They do lack something. Fathers, you are the bedrock of our home, our homes. And I want to affirm that in you and say, do not abdicate from that role because your children need it. And in this church, we will never pull men down to elevate the role of women. We will always ensure that you know that your role and what you play in society is of the utmost value. Amen? And so I also noticed this narrative coming from their mouths that sounded very familiar to that of a victim. Like, I don't have enough. And so after a day of thinking and praying and discerning and coming before God, I spoke into the situation and I believe helped them see what I think is the enemy's plans to sow seeds of doubt into their heart, to rob from them what he has for their future. And it was in this moment of discerning and speaking with my children that I got a sense that perhaps what I was seeing in my own kids this week was a picture of what was happening in Western culture. Many of us live with limitations because of the perception of the life that we think that we deserve. And we're comparing our lives to the lives of the other people around us, and it's holding us in a place of lack. There seems to be a lack of contentment, a great emphasis on earthly things. And I want to speak to you as a mother from a mother heart this morning. Church, if we are not prudent and spirit-led, I believe we are going to end up burdened by the very abundance and blessing that God himself has gifted to us in the first place. And I don't know if you know this, but this is the truth. As followers of Jesus, we have an advantage. Can I get an amen? Who can remember that message Mark preached? Hello, Vietney, Varons Vietney. Anyone? I actually don't know the wrestler's name. What is he, a fighter? Drickus. Okay. Drickus said that, and it's amazing that he said that because we've used that to frame this thought that we have an advantage. The world doesn't know what we know. We have a secret. But it's not a secret that we're asked to keep to ourselves. It's a secret that all of us are given who know Jesus, who've been given the treasures of the kingdom. He so freely gives us this truth. And we see Paul, he writes to the church in Philippi. He's actually in prison. He's in chains. I actually don't know how he wrote. Maybe he had a scribe. I was thinking about that this week. I was like, how did he write that letter in chains? Anyway, he writes to the church in Philippi. He's in prison and he says this, Philippians 4 verse 12, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The secret that we have, church, it is contentment because of Jesus. And we can only live content, hear this today, we can only live content when we live with childlike faith. So what is contentment, this kind of contentment that I'm talking about, true contentment? It's knowing God's plan for your life and having the courage to live it out. It's believing that God's peace is actually bigger than the world's problems. And it's a conviction, a deep to deep kind of conviction that God will not withhold his best from me. It has nothing. I want you to hear this today loud and clear. Contentment, true contentment, has nothing to do with what we have on this earth and everything to do with who has us. And true contentment leans into the promise that despite my circumstances, how I feel, I know that the Father has everything that I need. Everything is under control. He will provide. Amen? And so for the next few minutes, we're going to examine two ideas in this text from Luke 12. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit is going to uncover a depth of revelation for you this morning, that the depth of God would call out to the depth of your spirit here in this place. Amen? And so the first statement, not the first, but one of the statements that Jesus makes in this text are these three small little words. How much more? He says, consider the ravens. If God feeds birds, how much more you? And then he says, consider the lilies, consider the grass. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. And yet God clothes them. That word clothe in the Greek is the word cover. yet God covers them. How much more will he cover you? Say, how much more? We serve a how much more God. And in Matthew 7, Jesus makes this very profound statement about the Father to his disciples. He's trying to teach them to look at him, because when they look at him, they will see the Father, and that will be more than enough. And he says to them in verse 11, if you then who are evil, he's talking about earthly fathers. And I just want all the fathers in this place to take a breath. It's okay. We're all sinners saved by grace. Jesus is making a very helpful point. He says, if you then who are evil earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, what does he say? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, I don't talk about my dad very often from this platform, because I'm just aware that my experience and my upbringing was unique. And for many of you, the concept of father, just say amen. Friends, got to be real, otherwise this is going to be a long journey. Okay, so for many of you, the concept of father is challenging. And so I want to be mindful and respectful to you by saying, I'm going to share with you my experience, and I'm choosing to do that today because I know that it is important for the sake of this thought of a how much more father. But I know that if this is not your experience, that the Father himself will meet you here today, even in that place. Amen? And so I had a really, really great earthly dad. Like, really great. And this is not just in theory or in hindsight, like I've conjured up some romantic version of him now that he's passed away. Like, I had a great dad in the reality of today, even in his absence, as he's graduated to heaven. He is great in my life today. And my dad had big hands. Joel has inherited those big hands. They were strong and worn and problem-solving and gentle and trustworthy. And for those of you who don't know much of my story, my dad was unsaved for most of my upbringing. He got saved in my 20s, had a beautiful encounter, personal encounter with Jesus that I had trusted for. And so for most of my childhood, he was just an ordinary man doing the best he could with what he knew. He had a big heart. He loved to exercise, probably a little too much. He loved sports. He was an expert farmer and very affectionate. And right up until the day he passed away, even I have memories all throughout my childhood of him wrapping his arms around me and holding me tight. And his lap was always open for me. Even as a married woman, I would sneak my way onto that lap and sit as he would hold me. And he cheered on my endeavors. And by cheering on, church, I mean he paid for them. Amen? Can we just say yes, thank you, fathers, for all that you do to pay for our things that we love. You know, and he paid for them even when he didn't understand them. Like, he was sporty. I was into drama and public speaking and all the things. And he was like, okay, that's expensive. He fought for my heart. Oh, he fought for my heart, probably when I was breaking his. And I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but in 2021, I was really tired. Having lots of children will do that to you in increments. And, you know, beautiful people sent me on a trip to the Midlands. And as I was about to leave, I opened the gate to our home and it fell off its hinges. And I was like, well, that's inconvenient because I'm supposed to be leaving. And as I did, I did this often when I needed help, when I needed someone to come and rescue me and fix things. And this does not take anything away from Dylan. It's just a girl needs her dad sometimes. And I phoned him. I was like, Dad, my gate has just fallen off its hinges and I need you immediately. Can you come? And next minute, he was there at my gate with his welding kit. And I was like watching him with the firing torch. And I said, Dad, you know how to weld? He's like, yes, they teach us that at farming school. I don't know. And I will never forget that moment where I said these words and he got this big smile and twinkle in his eyes. I said to him, well, take that, devil. My daddy knows how to weld. He was not perfect. He was not. He was very wild. And he had a big bias towards fishing. And I can say that now because he's not here. But he did a really good job. And I will always be grateful for my father because of his open lap. His open lap ushered me onto the lap of my father in heaven, even when I believed I didn't deserve to be there. And the way that he was with me, even though he didn't know it, shaped so much of how I interact with my father today. If our earthly fathers, who are evil, doing the best job that they can with all that they know how, with all that they believe of themselves, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more, say how much more, the Father in heaven. True contentment is found when we fully trust like children. We approach our Father with a somewhat oblivious, free knowing, like, he's just going to sort it out. I don't know if you've watched children with their dads. They're like, of course you can do that. It's broken. Of course you can fix it. Joel's always like, why can't I have that? Of course you buy it. Just swipe the zebra card. It doesn't work like that. The zebra card is empty. Amen? But there's this oblivious, beautiful knowing that children have that my dad, he's got everything I need. Every lack is taken care of. Every wrong is made right. Every doubt is covered. Every sorrow comforted. And in verse 32 in Luke 12, it says that it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father to give us the kingdom. What is the how much more that God gives his children? Is it just what we think we need here on earth? No. He gives us the kingdom, a shared rule and reign with Christ here on earth. Access to the inheritance that he gave his son, he freely gives to us as we are co-heirs with Christ, children of God. So how do we gain this kingdom? You might ask. How do we take hold of this how much more that God has for us? How do we find true contentment? In Luke 18, verse 17, it tells us how we do that. It says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, like a child, like a little child, will never enter it. We receive the kingdom when we come to him with childlike faith. Amen? The second thought that I have for you this morning are these few little words from Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock. Some translations say, don't be afraid, little flock. But I like, fear not, little flock. And it seems to me, if my children are a picture of what's happening in the people on the earth, that right now, human beings, if we're honest, we're sitting in this room, we're restless. We're unhappy, discontented with what we have. It's happening outside the church, but it's also happening inside here. Some of you perhaps arriving going, it's just not enough. Feeling like you're consistently looking for the next best thing. And yet Paul, in prison, says that he has peace in prison. In chains. How? Why? Because he learned the secret of contentment. in the soaring highs when he was on the mountaintop and the deepest valley lows when he was in chains. His eye was on the prize. He trained himself to keep looking at Jesus, not at the outcome, not at getting out of prison, not at the circumstances, what he found himself in, not on what he could gain in this earth. His eyes were on Jesus. He had to learn the secret, how to live in abundance, how to live with nothing, and be content in both. In Philippians 3, he makes this bold, bold statement. He says, I count it all loss that I might gain Christ. That word loss, translated, is actually rubbish. I count it all as rubbish that I might gain him. The secret is contentment. And that's what he was sharing with us. Contentment is not just another mindfulness activity. Please don't hear that you need now go home and fill out a gratitude journal for the remainder of 2024. You will not find contentment in said practice. It's a great practice. It will keep your health healthy. It'll keep you pure-hearted. It'll turn what you have into more than enough. But let me tell you, true contentment is not found in inspirational talks. It's not found in YouTube philosophies. And there are a lot of people talking how to be alive and content and happy and fulfilled and at peace. Let me tell you, you're not going to find it there. You're not going to find it in a self-help book. All respect to the people who labor in those books. But you will not. True contentment is only found when we can confidently say, in the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing him, Jesus Christ, and only him. Where you can say, you know what? I see you, Jesus. This circumstance is nowhere near what I thought life would be like. I have no idea what the outcome's going to be, but you're in control. And I know that you have everything that I need. And you know what the problem is for me? I've realized is that because I've done this, I'm not preaching to you right now, I'm preaching to myself. I've read the books of the Bible written by these fathers of the faith, and I've immediately disqualified myself from the story. How could I contribute? It's Paul. And so we hear him say things like, I count it all as loss, that I may gain Christ, and about learning about contentment. And we think, yeah, but that's Paul. Of course he's going to say that. He had some kind of special connection. Paul is not an anomaly, friends. He was a sinner saved by grace, just like you and I. But he knew what it meant to seek first the kingdom above all else. And he trusted that as he pursued Jesus with childlike faith, the grace of God would give him everything he needed. So in verse 32, it says, fear not, little flock, for it pleased God the Father to give you the kingdom. It's one sentence, but there's two thoughts within it. And it's separated by a word. Those two thoughts are separated by a word that tells us that one depends upon the other. Why should we not fear? Why does Jesus say, do not fear? Because for we have the kingdom. The grounds for why you do not fear, on this earth is because the Father delights to give his children the kingdom. He gives us the kingdom. Say, he gives. We do not buy it. We do not buy the kingdom. Buying and selling does not have a place in the kingdom of God. You cannot buy God. You cannot buy peace. You cannot buy joy. You cannot buy redemption. You cannot buy reconciliation. You cannot buy righteousness. You cannot buy mercy. You cannot buy grace. And you cannot buy your inheritance in him. He gives. It pleased the Father to give us the kingdom. Jesus is the one who paid the full price. Can I get an amen? His one perfect sacrifice for all of time paid the price that you and I can come with absolutely nothing to offer and receive. And what Jesus did through his death and resurrection is he bought back dominion and power for us here on earth. He holds the keys to the kingdom. And then the Father says, look at my child, give them the keys. Look at my child, give them the keys. I see my child, give them the keys. And he gives when we simply approach him with childlike faith that says, God, I don't know what the outcome will be. My circumstances are crazy, but I believe. I just believe. We are content. We have the secret, and his name is Jesus. Our full access to the Father who gives us everything and more. How much more? Amen. I'd love you to stand. For most of my journey with Jesus, I've been singing a song that would call my spirit towards him, that would take my gaze off my circumstances and off my problems and off my own ability and put it on him. This is not all about being in a hard space. It's also about when you're on the mountaintop and things are going really well and we still need him, especially in those moments, to not lose sight of where did all of that come from. And I've been singing it for many years and you'll probably know it. And I believe, you know, Psalm 42 talks about where deep cries out to deep. And I believe that what he wants to do right now in the spirit is to call out to the depth of you. So would you close your eyes? We're going to place all of our attention on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of this world will grow strange. Lead him in the light of his glory and his grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The Father wants to bless you this morning. His children, calls you beloved. My beloved, he says, you are mine. Speak to people this morning who walked in those doors and you're like, I have no idea what to do next. Well, we have a secret and we're sharing him with you this morning. His name is Jesus. And you too can take a step towards him today. It's just a step. With childlike faith and say, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to turn my eyes and place them on you. And I want to pray with you. And you can pray with me in your heart and take a step towards the fullness of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here, that you have come. I look at you. I place my eyes on you. I take my eyes off the things of this world and I place them on you. Have all of my heart. Have all of my life. I open my hands today to receive you, Jesus. I receive the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. And then I want to pray with people this morning. You don't have an experience like I had with an earthly father who was good and kind and present, provider. Perhaps you didn't feel delighted in as a child. The word beloved is foreign to you. If that is you this morning and you're like, I need the Father to come and fill that gap for me. I need Holy Spirit to come and make that connection because it is so hard and so foreign. I want to encourage you with every eye closed. Can you raise your hands? I believe Holy Spirit is going to come and connect you to the heart of your Father in heaven today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. The Father blesses you. He loves you. He says, come to me. Calling you into his lap. I thank you that by the power of your Spirit today, Father God, hearts are being ushered towards the true Father heart of God in this place. As the Holy Spirit continues to work in this place and continues to reveal the Father to you, this is a journey you will go on. We're going to begin to sing. Everything I need, my Father has it. Everything I need, my Father has it. We're going to sing that in faith this morning, despite our circumstances, despite the outcome that we think that we need, despite some of the confusion. I want you by faith, like a child who believes that their father has it all taken care of, will give you everything that you need. And then when you walk out of these doors, and it doesn't make sense tomorrow, and it feels like your world is falling apart, I want to encourage you to turn this song on. Put it on a little louder. The Father has it. My Father has it. He has everything that I need. This is the truth of God. Would you open your hands to receive the kingdom this morning? That your Father has it. He has everything that you need. Amen.